Hey friends, thanks for joining us for the Messiah's Misfits podcast. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, this podcast is to help you to learn and to grow. I'm Mary Ventures, and I'm joined with my friends Randall and Josh Newby.
Shalom.
Hello.
Shalom.
Hey, I am at peace with God, and I'm just sharing peace, and I want everybody to live in peace.
Well, praise God. That's something we all need to strive to do.
Yes, we do.
Especially in this world.
Oh, in a world of messed up chaos, mm-hmm. We need peace.
We do.
And as a matter of fact, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers.
That's right.
So
I figured
if we want to get a blessing, just be a peacemaker.
Be a peacemaker.
Not a troublemaker.
Don't be stirring the pot, people. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about some of that, because we're going to talk about Jesus forgives our sins.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I hope everybody knows that already, but in case you don't, we're going to cover it.
It's good to know.
Yes.
It's good to know that.
And we're going to start out in 1 John chapter 2.
1 John chapter 2.
He covers it. He pretty much covers it in a nutshell.
John was the beloved.
Yes.
He was one of the people of the inner circle of Christ. And I think on our last podcast, we discussed chapter 1. And
yes.
And really, I really feel like that these verses 1, 2, 3, 4, up through 6 really continues on with chapter 1, because he talks about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you get down to verse 7, he starts changing puts a new twist on the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
But he's talking about, if you go back into chapter 1, verse 7, he says that it's the blood of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That'll make a shout.
Mm-hmm.
That's good news. I think there's some people that feel like that they're never good enough,
right,
or what they've done, that God could never forgive them for what they've done.
Yes.
So my prayer for the episode tonight is that those people will stumble across this or find it on the dial or
right.
On their computer or phone, wherever they are listening to, technology they have, that they'll find this and say, mm-hmm. You know what? God does forgive me.
Right.
God wants to remove guilt.
Right.
He wants to remove blame. He wants to remove condemnation.
Right.
And I think sometimes we're the worst enemies of ourselves.
We are.
We want to hold on to it. And, enemy, he really pushes the margin on that as well.
He does.
Because he's, you've sinned too much. You've mm-hmm. done too far. You've gone over the edge now.
He enjoys poking you with
that. Oh, yeah. He just lays it on thick, and he makes some people believe it.
Right.
But we know the Word of God says different.
Well, even in verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we're lying.
Yeah, we've all sinned.
Right.
We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he's not denying the fact.
No.
Jesus is not denying the fact. He said, you've sinned.
Yes.
You have sinned.
Yes.
He's not giving us the sugarcoating it or tickling our ears about it. Well, Father, No, he said, Father, they've sinned.
They are. Yeah.
They said, but the good news is, he said, I'm the cure.
Yes.
I've got the cure. I've got the blood. I've got the forgiveness.
Yes. And he's got the magic eraser.
Yes. And thank God he does.
Yes.
Thank God he does. And so, but it's important in verse 9, we're doing a recap a little bit here, but it's exciting. But he said, if we confess our sins.
Right.
And I think that's the important thing to do, is just own up.
Right. Admit it.
It's
so hard for people to admit they're wrong sometimes.
It is.
And it's so much easier if you just admit it and move on, but pride.
Oh.
Pride keeps us from admitting it sometimes.
Yeah, I think that, and we don't want other people to think that we've not done.
Right.
They won't think we won't be.
Or they know more.
We won't think people we've got our ducks in a row.
Right.
We think we got it going on.
Right.
And so if we was to say something or confess or admit something,
mm-hmm.
it might people think to look down on us or look bad at us. But my goodness, we're living in a fallen world.
We are.
Shall we continue in sin? Grace forbid, or God forbid.
Right.
Grace wasn't given as a license to sin, but thank God we have been forgiven, and thank mm-hmm. God we're under grace.
Yes.
And that we can come to God. Because God already knows our heart anyway.
He does.
He knows what we've
done.
Well,
and he sees where your ducks are. Mine are scattered all over the place, okay?
I mean, there's time we've messed up, and
yes.
we don't sin willfully, But there's time we sin accidentally.
Yes.
Or we sin different ways. But, you know, God takes that craving sin out of us, that desire to sin. He broke that power of sin over our lives.
He did.
Thank God for that.
Yes.
But it's important that we forgive us because he said he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
He will. And he means that.
And absolutely.
He didn't say anything he didn't mean.
That's truth.
Yes.
That's the truth. And so that's what we want to bring to our audience tonight is just an encouragement tonight that God does forgive if we confess and own up to it and say, you know, Father, I'd messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think coming with an honest, coming with an honest heart, sincere, not just throwing it out there, well, Lord, I messed up, forgive me.
Right. Again. And I'm probably going to do it again, but, you know, that's not being true repentance.
I had one lady, it's been years ago, that she'd come and she'd stand up in church. She said, I pray the Lord forgive me for what I'm about to do this weekend, knowing good and well she was going to go
out. She was already planning it out.
She was already planning it out, and it wasn't a one-time event.
Right.
She'd stand up. But she said, Lord, I just want y'all to forgive me for what I'm about to do this weekend. And it was ongoing. She never stopped.
Right, right.
You know, I thought.
She didn't get it.
She never got
it.
No, she never got it. Wow.
But I love chapter 2, the first verse.
Yes, yes it is.
You know, because he said, my little children, you know, he's talking to us.
Yeah, that's, yes.
He loves us. And he said, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Hey, powerful.
I mean,
powerful.
He's telling us right there, no matter how bad you mess up, I'm waiting for you to come back.
You know, Jesus, he told several people in the Gospels, you know, when he healed them, he said, go and sin no more.
Right.
He is very strict. And if
your sins are forgiven, you know, be healed.
His first message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yes.
Jesus takes sin very seriously.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't like it, and he hates it. And he wants us to live a life of righteousness and holiness. But he's made a way for us here that we can have forgiveness. Oh. That we can have forgiveness in them, because he said we have an advocate with the Father. Thank God for that.
Well, we weren't created to sin. That was never the intention on our life, was to sin. But we messed that up, right? Like, I don't know how many days in.
Adam messed it up.
I know. So.
Disobedience.
But Jesus became the way.
You know, the first Adam messed up, but the last Adam, not a second Adam, but the last Adam, Jesus Christ, made the way.
He straightened us out. That's right.
Through one man's disobedience, many were sinned, but by one man's obedience, many became righteous.
Yes.
Thank God for Christ's obedience, the last Adam. And because we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus, he's our advocate, he's righteous. He said, in the Old Testament, he said, our righteousness is as filthy rags. But here he says, Jesus Christ, the right. So when we come to Christ, we come into Christ, we're baptized into Christ, we take on his righteousness.
Yes. He washes our sins away white as snow.
So when the Father sees us, he sees us through the blood of Jesus. He sees us through Christ, and he sees us in Christ.
I heard a pastor say one time that he sees us through rose-colored glasses, you know, because of what Jesus has done.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. It's all because of what Jesus does. He went to the cross. He gave his life a ransom for many, as Isaiah was saying. And, you know, and he said, my little children.
Yes.
Praise God.
He
calls us his spiritual children, spiritual brothers and spiritual sisters here. And, you know, when you go into verse 2 of that, he and Jesus is the propitiation.
Yes.
I love that word. Jesus became the ultimate sinless sacrifice for all time.
Yes.
For all time. He became the sin offering for us. There had to be an offering. He said the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it.
No.
But the blood of Jesus.
Yes. He became that ultimate sacrifice.
He was without sin.
Right.
He was without sin in his life, and he became our sacrifice for our sins.
Right. For the whole world. He's there for all of us. Anybody that wants Jesus in their life can have him.
That's it.
It's so easy.
Just welcome.
Yes.
I believe he says in Revelation Revelation. Let me find that real quick. Let me turn over here. Revelation 3 and let's go with 19 on that one. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke, I chasten, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me.
Praise God.
What an invitation.
Yes.
What an invitation.
And he said, any man.
Yes, yes. If any man, any man hear my voice and open the door, we have to open that door.
Right.
I love the picture of Christ standing at the door holding a little lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Many people have seen it in Bible bookstores or pictures or whatever. But Jesus don't have a doorknob on his side.
Right.
He cannot open the door.
Right.
But we have to open our heart to him and invite him in and welcome him into our hearts.
He doesn't force himself on
anybody.
No,
he does not.
Wow.
But we see this here. He's already paid the way.
Yes, he did.
He's became our righteous. He's became our advocate. He's become our propitiation.
Mm-hmm.
He's become our mediator.
Yes.
He's become our Savior. He's everything.
He's everything.
And
that's
if
right.
we missed the mark, which was sin, we missed the mark. But thank God he came to give his life a ransom for, and read verse 2 there. He said, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yep.
So when he died upon the cross, he bore the sins of the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
When he says he died in agony and fought with agony, dealt with agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat was like great drops of blood.
Blood, yeah.
The pain that he bore for the sins of the world and for someone to reject him and to deny him,
mm-hmm.
how awful.
I know.
How awful that is to deny what Christ has done.
Yes.
You know, he said that the thief, which is referring to Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
Glory to God. That's what Christ came to do.
He did. Yes.
He came to give us life.
Praise God.
Woo.
I'm so thankful that he did.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
And that's forgiveness. We take on righteousness and we could have never done that.
And you know what? Another thing I think people don't understand is, you know, when you ask for forgiveness and he forgives you, and then you come back to him again and say, Lord, forgive me for that again. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
He says, I wash your sin away as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah.
Be remembered no more. He doesn't dwell on that.
Yeah.
He wipes it clean. So, I mean, who else is going to do that?
Thank God.
Yes.
What a merciful God.
He is.
Loving God.
Yes, he is.
Wow.
He did not come to condemn us.
Wow.
That's right.
That is rich.
Mm-hmm.
That is so rich and just, it's almost unbelievable that it could be this real.
Mm-hmm.
That he's made a way. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth and I'm the life.
Yes.
And for us to understand that, it's kind of.
But no man cometh to the Father except through the Son. That's very important.
That's it right there.
Yes.
That's it.
He's the doorknob, basically.
You've got to go through the blood.
Yes.
Got to go through the blood. Look at verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him. I'm glad I know him.
Yes.
I know him.
But how do you prove that you know him?
Oh, sister. Hallelujah. I've talked with him all day. Right.
Well, it's real simple. He tells you,
yes.
Right, if we keep his commandments.
That's it. That's it.
You know, he doesn't put too much on us.
Right.
He doesn't expect a whole lot out of us.
Yeah.
But he does expect certain things. And those things are really not that difficult.
Right.
You know.
We make it hard through legalism.
We do.
Through religion.
Through our flesh.
Through flesh.
Yes.
We make it pretty difficult. But
yes.
He said that His word is, and judgments are not burdensome.
No.
It's not.
They're not.
He said, my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy.
It's the peace.
His ways are not grievous.
No.
Thank God.
Yes.
Thank God. He's made a way for us to come and fellowship with him and have a relationship with God.
Yes.
And he said, if we keep his commandments, that's how we know that
that's
we know
how
him.
You know. That's right.
He said, by your love that you have, he said, the world will know that you are my disciples.
That's right. And if you see somebody and you see them not in verse 4, it says, "He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him." I mean, there's a lot of people out there that don't know God.
There's a contrast there.
That's right.
There's a contrast right there. It separates the real from the fake.
Mm-hmm. Then you can't trick him.
No.
You can't pretend something on the outside and think, oh, well, I'm living this life when you're rotten and dark on the inside. It doesn't work.
You may fool the preacher, you may fool the deacons,
That's
but
right.
you ain't going to fool
you're
God.
You're not going to fool him. Yeah. No.
You know, the old saying is, you don't mess with God. You don't play around with God.
No.
You
no.
don't play around with God.
That's right.
He's not someone to play with.
I agree.
God takes sin very seriously.
He does.
And God takes people very serious in our actions.
He says he will not be mocked.
Mm-mm. No. He won't, and so it's important that we know him by keeping his commandments, by loving him, loving people.
Yes.
What's verse 5 say there?
Verse 5 says, "But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected."
Oh, yes.
"Hereby know what that we are in him."
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Wow. And he says it over and over. It's not just in... in this book. It is in every book. He talks so much about his love for us and what we need to do to prove that.
Wow.
Wow. It is awesome.
It's keeping his word, and his word is so powerful. It's so rich. It's
yes.
so it's a love letter.
It is.
The word of God is a love letter to his children, and it's our guidance system. It's our GPS system, and so when we keep that, then God is perfecting that love inside of us.
Yes.
You know, we say this sometimes, we got to get the Egypt out of us.
Right.
Got to get the world out of us.
Leave it behind.
You know, and the more you get out, there's got to be something that replaces that. So he starts replacing that with his love. We start growing in Christ, growing in the knowledge of God.
Yes.
He starts perfecting that area in our life that needs perfecting.
Yes. That's
you
right.
Know, there's some areas in our life that lack. He said, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give to all men liberally." There's some areas in our life that need to grow, and he
yes.
said, I'm gonna perfect the area of love.
Right.
I'm gonna praise God for that.
Mm-hmm.
He that saith he abideth in Christ ought himself also to walk even as he walked.
That's right.
There you are.
That's right.
We gotta walk as Christ walked.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it'd be hard to follow somebody that was foul, you know, but tried to play themselves off as being Christ-like mm-hmm. when you see they're not.
Right.
You know, and it's expected of us. He has expectations of his people to behave in a certain way and to treat people in a certain way.
Well, we need to be walking circumspectly in the
yes,
world.
Yes.
We need to be walking in a manner that pleases God.
Right.
We need to be living an above board life, and we do that because when Christ comes into our life, he takes away that desire that craving to sin anymore.
He does.
We don't want to do those things anymore. We did them as younger, and Lord God forgive us of all that stuff that we did.
Right.
I don't want to do that anymore.
No,
I don't want to say those things anymore.
What is that? I'm going to bring up a hymn. Okay.
Praise God.
There's no turning back.
Oh, no.
I know, right? I'm sorry. I had to do it, folks.
Revving off on y'all.
How old is it? How old is the hymn?
Well,
do you know that?
It's pretty old, but it's, I don't know the, I don't like him. I don't know the dates.
Oh, no.
But, you know, it says, there's nothing to go back to. Praise the Lord, sweet heaven's review. I'm too near my heavenly home to turn back now.
Amen.
I do not want to be caught not prepared. I don't want to. No. I want my oil to be in my lamp.
Yes.
I want to be ready.
Amen. That's
yes.
good. That's good.
Because he's coming back.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And we want to be living like Christ as he
right.
comes, loving people, walking in obedience, living life pleases him.
Right. Well, in verse 7 says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning." Again, this is verse 8. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth.
Amen. Well, what John is referring to is a quote from the Pentateuch back in Leviticus, the 19th chapter. He's referring to it. Love was presented then.
Right.
And he said, I write no new commandment, because love has been the fabric. It's been the fabric.
God is love.
Yeah. It's been the fabric through all of that. And so John is just really making a quote. He said, I'm not writing anything to you new.
Right.
Love has always been.
Because if God wasn't love, Pastor, when we messed up in the garden,
oh yeah,
he could have easily just wiped us out and started all over with a new batch, right? But he loved Adam.
And you know, and Moses stepped in and interceded for us.
Yes.
He
yes.
interceded for Israel. He went did. To bat and he said, Lord, for it just be five.
Right. Moses, every single one of them did. He said, what if you kill them, Lord, and you bring us out here, they're going to say our God's crazy for killing all his people. You know, they reasoned with him.
Yeah.
And they saved lives doing it. They did.
They interceded.
Yes.
And thank God.
Yes.
Thank God. You know, I think sometimes we need to just open up to God like that. Just in a spiritual sense, just have it out.
That's right.
Just have it out with God.
Yes. But he wants us to come to him.
Yeah.
He wants us to bring our petitions to him. Mm-hmm. He wants to know he already knows what you're thinking.
Oh, sure.
But he would like for you to talk to him out loud.
Yeah.
Because he loves us. He created us to commune with us. And that's what he's wanting the whole time. Mm-hmm. But we get lax and we think, well, if we don't talk to him, he won't notice all these things I'm doing. Yeah. You know?
Well, we try to bottle it up and try to figure it out ourselves. If we would just talk to God and share our deep emotions, share our deep sorrow with him, and share our hurts and our pains with him and disappointments, and just bring it to him and say, God, I don't know how to handle this.
Right.
God, I don't know what to do.
Sure.
You know, God, I'm feeling kind of angry right now. I'm feeling kind of upset about this deal. Yeah. Like, you know, Lord, I don't know. How am I supposed to feel, Lord?
Right.
And I think it's good for us to thank God his ears are attentive.
If we would just stop and do that,
we would
save ourselves so much embarrassment and so much repentance if we would just go to God in the first place.
I think it's just being open and honest with God. I mean, he already knows what we're feeling, what we're thinking anyway.
Right.
But I think it's just speaking it out, getting it out there.
That's true.
You know, like I said, we're coming to him and making confession to him.
Right.
Say, God, I need some help here.
I agree.
I think that is one of the things that needs to be addressed with people in the church, is just knowing that he is a counselor to us.
Mm-hmm. And he is.
It's what he is.
Yes.
He's a counselor. And
I mean, that's what John's trying to do, you know, here. He's writing this. The Holy Spirit is telling him what to write.
Right.
What to say, and that's God trying to, he's communicating that through John.
Yep.
And if we would just pay attention.
That's it. And that, you know, thank God that we have these podcasts like this, that we can maybe help some people to understand this and to strengthen them.
Well, how many times have you told Josh, how many times do I have to tell you?
Well, we don't need to discuss personal issues.
No, come on, let's go ahead.
Now. Hey now. Hey.
He was too comfortable over there. I had to bring him in. But I think we're going to have to make a two-part out of this.
Oh,
this
I believe
is...
it.
I mean, this podcast isn't about me. So.
Well. All have sinned, Josh. I believe we read that.
I mean, I don't like the limelight like you do, so.
Well, not everybody can be like me, Josh.
Oh, I know.
Wow, so we got to eight.
We made it all way to eight.
Let's see. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. Which thing is true.
Yes.
I like that. Which thing is true.
Yes.
In him and in you. Praise be to God.
Yes.
He says, because the darkness is past.
Hallelujah.
And the true light now shineth.
Praise God.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
I want that new light.
Amen. That's what we want. We want the light of God's love to shine inside of us and to keep us and to guide us and direct us with this new light. And, you know, the darkness is disappearing.
That's right. Praise God.
The brighter the light shines, the more darkness it has to disappear.
That's right. Well, the word says, in him, there is no darkness nor shadow of turning.
Thank God.
I love that.
He is light.
Yes.
He is light. And we just want to demonstrate the love. That's what he was saying in there. We want to demonstrate love to people.
Yes.
We want to love that. We want to, because Christ gave his life for all. all who believe in him. And I just want to encourage people today that if someone is listening for the first time and they don't have a relationship with Christ, if they never put their faith or belief in him, I'd like to take this moment right now to say, you know, come to the Father.
Yes.
Open that door. Open that door. Jesus is standing at the door right now, ready to accept, accept anyone, anyone, anywhere right now to come to him. So, Father, we just pray right now for our audience tonight, Lord, that you will strengthen them, Lord, as you begin to draw that heart. Lord, you said, no man cometh unto the Father except the Holy Spirit draw him. Lord, I pray right now, let the Holy Spirit begin to draw that heart that's, Lord, that's troubled. Lord, that heart right now that's maybe hardened by things in the past or being hurt. Lord, and I pray right now that you'll turn that heart to belief. Where there's been doubt, where there's been disbelief, Lord, you'll turn that heart right now, glory to God, by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that they will experience that cleansing flow of the blood of Jesus Christ. They'll experience the love of the Father through the anointing right now, the Holy Ghost, as you begin to touch that heart and draw that in, Lord, and take that heart and begin to turn it to righteousness and holiness, Lord, as you become our advocate, as you're displaying, Lord, as our propitiation. Father, right now, I just pray that people would accept you, Lord, and overcome the trials of the flesh, overcome the past hurts and disappointments and setbacks, God, but they'll know that they can come to you and ask for forgiveness, and you will cleanse them. Lord, you'll renew them. Lord, you'll take out that old heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Father, we rejoice right now in the favor of God. Lord, in your wonderful grace, your wonderful mercy, Lord, we give you all the praise tonight for your forgiveness. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I feel the need to sing a hymn now. Just kidding.
And it's time to mute her microphone.
Just kidding. This is a wonderful study because there's too many people that don't understand Jesus' forgiveness, and we hope that we are going to be able. We're going to have to do a part two on this one. So come back next week and listen and learn some more. So I would just like to say thanks for listening to the Messiah's Misfits podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening today so you don't miss an episode. It would also mean a lot if you took the time to give us a review so others can find our podcast and we can continue to serve and to teach.
The Messiah's Misfits podcast is a ministry of Yale Assembly where our mission is to build kingdom people. To find out more about Yale Assembly and our other ministries, you can go to yaleassembly.org.